Some of you, if I've taught here before, guess what? In a year or two, I'm going to teach this again because I believe this is probably one of the most real and probably one of the most applicable. Man, write that word down, somebody. I ain't going to say it again because I don't think I'll get it right. To your life. I believe so. I think this was one of the most realistic songs. Have you ever read the Psalms and you go, I just don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big song person. I love music. I'm just not good at it. And I don't sit around and think about songs and stuff. I'm more of thinking about messages. You know what I'm saying? But when I get it, when I finally get it, I get it. So I get this one. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, right? A-S-A-P-H. And I thought about this. You find this in 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15, he was one of the chief musicians when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem. So, got to figure this out. David, who played the harp, God's anointed, David wrote most of the Psalms, and all of a sudden he chooses Asaph to be one of the leaders of the band, leaders of the musicians, and he's anointed. You might want to write this, he's anointed. Is there anybody that's anointed in here? I hope so. Anointed means called. And sometimes when you're anointed, you need other anointed people to feed you, to bless you, to encourage you. Your anointing alone doesn't work alone. You need other people who are gifted, even in the same area that you're gifted in, to bless you. Man, I seen this, and David said, I bet the first time he ever heard Asaph play, he went, man, I needed that. I can remember some times where I've been to services and preachers preach, and it might not have got there for me, but all of a sudden when you got to that one place where the preacher was preaching and it, God was sowing into your life, and you're sitting there going, don't stop preaching. Okay? He said, Asaph, I need you to lead. I need you to bless me. And Asaph's like, man, I must be a pretty big deal. Amen? Okay, let me put it this way. If King David picked you to sing because he heard you sing, you'd think, man, I'm pretty good. Amen? All right, so here's a man who loved to play before God, was anointed to play before God, and he picked a man who could play before God. And that's why this is so real. Goodness gracious, it would seem like God, if God could pick somebody to sing a song to one of his anointed, then guess what? That song would be so sweet, so powerful, so good, so awesome that when we read it, we would walk out of here going, hallelujah, praise God. But that's not what God does. God gives Asaph the stage, and Asaph shows his weakness. I mean, he takes Asaph and he goes, all right, Asaph, a solo. And Asaph's like, I am. And I guarantee you, he had a better song he picked out himself. But when he got there, when he got on the stage of writing something that's going in the scriptures forever, he said, don't let me tell you about how great I am. Let me tell you how weak I am without God. Ain't that incredible? I mean, but I hope this encourages you to some degree, because usually when God pulls you up and puts you in front of people, he doesn't share how great you are. He shares how weak you are without him. So therefore, you show how great he is. Man, I couldn't help myself. When you start looking at the characters who write these, instead of just looking at the scriptures and going, that's a psalm, you know? You look at it and say, a man wrote this out of his brokenness. Can you, y'all want to get into it? Let's get in this with me. Truly God is good. Let me say it. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart, as of a clean heart. God is good. And all the time, I wonder if Asaph had said, I wonder if he went, God is good. And everybody went to Israel. And such is their clean heart. Amen? It's kind of, I mean, it just, you know, one of them slow. Oh, come on, I hope y'all get this. Please get this. Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel, and to such are a clean heart. Everybody, yes! That's the start of the song. And that we do it. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. But look what he said. Have you ever been here? Verse 2 of this psalm. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Whoa! What are you doing? This is not the song you want to be singing when they're giving you a title song in the book. He's like, man, I know God's good, but some of my pain has crept in to my service. Some pain has got into my anointing. Golly, I wish somebody... Some pains has got in, and I have took my eyes off of God, and I've shifted them to people. And not just any people, not godly people, not God people, not people who are worshiping God, but all the way over to the left side, all the way over to the ungodly people. I have started studying them instead of studying God because I'm hurting. Listen, you might not say it today, but praise God, Christians hurt. We hurt sometimes. We get hurt. We just get hurt sometimes, and there could be a myriad of reasons. I'm talking about a bunch of different reasons. Pain is pain. No matter how it got there, it is there. And you can lose focus real quick. When you hurt for a long time, maybe if you hurt for a day, you're like, I'll get over it. But if you hurt for a week, if you hurt for a month, things start to set in. Let me give you this. If I don't start to get feeling better, maybe, God, you could just come on and take me on home. Amen? I was, hey, God, I don't see your plan in this pain. And you kind of start looking over and say, well, wait a minute, this dude over here that we've been praying for, this old girl we've been praying for, this person who's doing all the things wrong, and I seem to be trying, I know I'm trying to do right, and man, they're doing all right. They're healthy as a horse. And I'm hurting. Are we still there? Boy, I hope we're there. I was going to preach real quick and get out of here tonight. I don't know if that's going to be possible. How about some pressure? How about some pressure? Just pressure. Work, life pressure, financial pressure, marriage pressure, just trying to serve pressure, never thinking you're good enough pressure. Maybe just different little areas of your life that you met, you all of a sudden that pressure life, you start looking at somebody else, and you're like, man, they're doing all right financially. Well, their marriage is doing fine. They don't ever go to church. I don't ever see them worrying about nothing. They got the right car, they got the right boat, they got the right house, and even their kids are doing good. I'm trying to herd mine into church. They got a bad attitude on the way there and on the way home. Amen. Oh, goodness gracious. I got pressure. And pressure, when it starts building up, it's got to go somewhere. And a lot of times when you're under pressure, you start to look and do stuff that you normally wouldn't do because pressure makes you over-exaggerate in certain areas. And then the problems. We don't have no problems in church, do we? Anybody got any problems? Anybody got no problems? We couldn't run a list of problems, could we? Man, I love when you get a big lump of problems. Don't it seem like problems are like they like to clump together? Have you ever noticed when you got your whole wagon full of problems, somebody else wants to help load your wagon even more? I mean, when everything's going good, I mean, people are like, hey, Ada, when you really got some issues, somebody's like, they're walking over to your barrel. You're like, I got no room for that. And they just said, hey, you know, I'm really here. Could you help me with that? And you're underwater there. You're struggling there. You got problems there. And somebody wants you to solve a problem that you might even be struggling with. There's this picture of this donkey. and he's pulling this cart, and it's overloaded. And it got so overloaded that the cart went like that, and the donkey's up in the air. Have you ever felt that way? I'm trying to pull the load, but the load's got me up in the air. I can't even get a grip on the ground. Amen? I'm glad this is in here. Amen? I want y'all to notice the whole first part of this chapter. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. All these things together. He just started looking at them and goes, man, they're prospering. They're doing better than me. They're just doing better. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Have you seen it yet? Where is his focus? It's not at God. It's not at godly people. It's not in the scriptures. It's not in worship. It's, man, you're dead staring at the world. I mean, just looking at them and going, man, they got it made. And I mean, he's even in death. Even their sickness is not like my sickness. You know why that is? Sometimes, as Christians, we don't live in a reality-type world. We think, well, we got God, so we ain't never going to have no issues. And God's like, I didn't promise you that. I just promised you didn't have to go through it alone. I didn't say you wasn't going to go through heartache. I didn't think you were. I didn't say you wasn't going to go through death. I didn't say you wasn't going to go through cancer and through finance. I just said you wouldn't have to go alone now. Man, I love that testimony this morning, because if you didn't notice, every time she said she had to go back to a mental situation or a mental health, she never said, why, God, did you? I thought you healed me of all the stuff. She was just grateful that God was with her, even to the doctor. Oh, no. I don't like to get caught up, but ain't that amazing? Focus. They're not sick like we're sick. We're not in trouble like we're trouble. Man, they're prospering. They're doing well. Therefore, pride compass them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with a fatness. They have more than a heart could wish. Man, I've been there. I could tell y'all so many. But listen, let's get to the real meat right here. Y'all ready? They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. You know what he said? This is what he said. And I don't care how tough or how cool you think you are. You know what they said? I can't stand the way they talk. Their words are hurting me, man. Their words are against me and against God. And it hurts. Somebody said, oh, words don't bother me. Well, guess what? You're either a liar or you're deaf. Amen? You're either a liar or you're deaf. You could say it don't bother you, but if you hear it enough, and I mean, they were, hey, sitting there, man, we're supposed to glorify God. We're supposed to say great things. Man, his pain, his problems, his the pressure was building up. And he said, man, I can't even stand to hear what they're saying. It's really bugging me. And he's taking it to God. He's like, hey, Lord. Hey, can I tell y'all this? You know where all this is contained at? It's scary. You know where all this is contained at? On the inside of this man. Can I preach a little bit right here? Can I help y'all with this? Listen to what I'm about to say. I guarantee you, on the outside, he's singing praises to God. He's up front leading the band. He's up in the front saying, here comes the Ark of the Covenant and King David. Hallelujah. Praise God. But on the inside, he's walking down that same path to Jerusalem, and he's looking over and going, that guy right there, he's got a bad mouth, and he bad mouths me, and he bad mouths God, and I can't believe, Lord, why have you not struck him down yet? Huh? And there's that other one. Goodness gracious, look, they're adding on to their cottage, Lord. Praise God. You know what I mean? This is all on the inside, because you don't believe me, but it is. It's all on the inside. You know what the worst place you can keep some stuff is? On the inside. Amen? Keep it on the inside long enough. You will combust. Look, I love this. Therefore, the people return hither the waters of a full cup. Are wrung out to them. This is kind of a biblical thing. The full cup means what the dregs of a cup at the very bottom. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he says, "Let this cup pass from me." What he was talking about is with the dregs. the punishment. See, life is a full cup. Usually you got more good than bad, but the dregs, the punishment, usually comes at the end of most people's lives. And at the bottom of the cup, the dregs is the pain of life. What happened is, Jesus said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. What he was going to do is he was going to drink all the dregs. He was going to drink all the pain for you and me. What this psalmist said is, he goes, they're not drinking dregs. Man, they're drinking from the top of the cup. He said, man, evil people, these people, the world, they're drinking from the top. There's no pain in their lives, Lord. Man, what a misperception. What a misperception, and they didn't have social media back then, but it sounds like it. Amen? I know. It's almost like you can look at somebody's life on social media and go, man, they got it made. Spend a day with them, though. Right? Because a lot of times we can project, we can put out our best. Amen? Nobody puts out bad pictures of themselves. That first one, when you flip the phone on and it comes around and it's on your face then, I'm sorry. If you got a smartphone, you take it and you turn in the picture and all of a sudden it turns around. You thought it was going to go that way, but it goes this way. You never snap that picture and send it off to nowhere. You got more chins in China? Huh? And you got one eye's going this way, one eye's going that way, and you're like, well, delete, delete. Right? Oh, come on. Then you do this number. There's the perfect spot. Oh, I'm going to keep preaching. Don't worry about this. Some of you are, then all of a sudden you hit, I like that one. So then what do? Then you go, it's a photo. All those things. Where are you? Fit, thank you. Everybody in that section over there knows exactly what I'm talking about. This section right here, you're going to have a hard time, me too. Filters. So guess what you do? Lighten it up, darken it up, take this, take that, take that. Next thing you know, this picture and you, if they found you together, they'd have a hard time identifying you. You got me? That's what we do. We put our best out. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can look at the world and think, man, they're doing great. And as a Christian, you'll sit there and say, why am I suffering and they're doing great? But I hate to tell you, they're not doing great all the time. When they lay down at night, there's something missing. Amen? When they've got their money, when they've got their house, man, there's still something missing. And you know what it's missing. It's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a love that passes all understanding. Amen? Listen to this. In verse 11, they said, how doth God know? And there is knowledge in the Most High. And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Do you already say it in verse 15? I'm keeping it all in. And he's smart. You know what he said? Because if I speak everything that I'm feeling, then I could curse the next generation. Amen? Be careful what you're saying because your kids are listening. I tell this all the time. Listen, just because they're sitting in a back seat, that doesn't separate the whole world from you. Amen? If they hear how you talk about other believers, how you talk about the people you go to church with, they're picking up on that and they're listening. And I don't care when you get out of the car and you say, oh, hey, how you doing? They're back going, wait a minute, that's not the way they really feel. Amen? You're sending mixed signals. Amen? So guess what? He said, I would say how I feel. You know where there's one place to say exactly how you feel. That is a prayer place. That's a place, that's why this is a psalm. It's a song to God, for God, out of His heart. You go to Him and you dump it all out. You turn it upside down and you hit the bottom of it and you tell Him, God, hey, I know I've been singing. I know I've been ministering. I know I've been preaching. I know I've been teaching. I know I'm this. I know I'm that. But this is how I feel. And God can handle it. God can handle it. He don't have no problem. You can tell. Can I help y'all right here? You can tell him everything because he knows everything anyway, and he loves you. But he already knows. That's the great thing about God is sometimes we pray to God like he don't really know us. We sing to God like he don't really know us. Oh God, oh Father, thou art in heaven. And you're sitting there with all this stuff in there, and God's like, could you cut, you're not even old English. Could you cut the accent? You're not from Britain. I'm sorry. Could you just talk to me like you'd talk to anybody else? Could you talk to me like you talk to your dad? Could you talk to me like you talk to your mom? That's how God really, I hate to tell you this, but God really does like it when you say, when you get real and you say, hey, listen. Some of you parents in here, have you ever, your kids ever get mad and tell you how they really feel? You don't like it at first, but at least you know where they're at and you know where you're at on it. Before you thought they were just, you know, all of a sudden like, look, and they might still get a whooping out of it. But at least it's not phony. Amen? At least it's not phony. Amen? Watch this. Let's get a little bit further. I want to show you. Verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, I should offend against the next generation. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17. Everything changes right here. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Everything changes right here. And listen, that sanctuary of God, just right down there, a meeting place with you and God. A sanctuary is a place you go into. It's a place of refuge. This church is a place of refuge for us. But guess what? A sanctuary is a place where you escape everything of the world and get in the presence of God. So your sanctuary can be a closet. It could be a rocking chair. It could be at the end of your couch in your living room. It could be in your bed. It could be in a closet in your room. It could be on this altar. It could be in this church. It could be in that office. It could be in your car. A place where you get along with God and talk to Him like He wants to be talked to. And listen to Him like He wants to be listened from. Amen. Until I went into the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places and castest them down into destruction. Do you notice what he did when he got his focus back on God? He got his focus on reality of eternity. See, when you get your focus on God, all the temporal stuff will drop off. All that temporary, oh, well, I don't have this kind of car, and I don't have these kind of clothes, and I don't have this kind of money, and I don't have this kind of... Listen, all that drops off and it becomes, I know where I'm spending eternity. I know where I'm going to go. I know where my soul goes when it departs from this fleshly body. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about spending eternity separated from God. And my treasures are in heaven, not here. Man, I'm happy about that. Praise God. You're missing the main thing. You're in a slippery place. You can look at when you read this scripture for the very first time, the most lucrative people, the billionaires, millionaires, athletes, you're looking at them, and man, when you're looking through God's filter, you look back at it and you go, poor people. You got all this money, you got all this wealth, you got all this fame, but you don't have the most important thing. You're standing in a slippery place. While you're running up that corridor, going down that or doing that big deal, you could have a stroke and you'll be in eternity. And man, all that will do you no good. How are they brought into desolation in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Golly, bum. God, listen, I don't know if y'all like to worship on Sunday night or not. Aren't you glad that God holds you by the right hand? Aren't you glad He holds you when you don't want to hold on? Man, it bothers me to no end when people come, well, I'm just hanging on to Jesus. I'm just doing this. You ain't doing it, man. If it was up to me to hold on to God, I'd let go a long time ago. Yeah, but I am in His hand, and then we are in the Father's hand. He ain't never lost nobody. Woo! Man, that's a shouter, guys. He never lost nobody. Because who could pluck God's fingers off of you? And not even you. Golly bum. Have you ever tried? I think I've tried a couple of times. Hey, God, loosen your grip up a little. Give me some authority back. Let me do it my way. No. And I notice since he's in that hand, sometimes he can hold me in that hand, but he can swap me with the other. Amen. Get back in line. Amen. Make sense? As a dream. Verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, as so foolish was I, and ignorant. I was a beast before you, verse 22. Nevertheless, I continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by the right hand, by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. See his focus in verse 25? See the exchange? What do I have that's more? There's nothing more valuable than God. I have God. God has me. There's nothing that can be. There's no exchange rate for God. Amen. He just woke up. It's like, wait a minute. I have the most valuable thing. I have one part of the Godhead in me. Another part of the... God, I wish y'all get this. I have one part of the Godhead in me. Another part of the Godhead died for me. And another part of the Godhead came and shook me out to save me. Man, God worked over. I mean, man, God drew you. Jesus died for you. And the Holy Spirit resides in you. Man. I wonder what I got in God. You got everything. You couldn't afford to pay for it, and therefore you couldn't pay for it. And it's just there. Oh, man, sometimes you wake up, you realize, wait a minute. I'm going to heaven. I've got Jesus. I've got God in me. Man, that's valuable. More valuable than anything else. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire before thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. See that? That portion. I don't know what kind of... I'll have a good portion of anything. Amen? Even though if I can't eat it or I can't spend it, if there's a choice, give me more than less. Amen? Oh, goodness. It was somebody at the wedding. I ain't going to mention their name. But there was somebody at the wedding. They were standing there with their daughter. And their daughter said something. Said, give me a piece of that cake. And he said, and she went, he goes, she said, do you want a big piece or a small piece? He said, give me a small piece. And she cut him a small piece. You know what he said? He turned, he said, not that small. Amen? It was chocolate fudge. Amen? He said, not that small. It was the portion size. Nobody wants too much, too little of something good. Amen? What he says right here, says, God, listen, I have seen who you are. You're my portion. And a portion of you is greater than any portion of anything in the world. Boy, you're enough. I know it's the same message. I've heard this message. The Syrophoenician woman. Remember? Jesus, my daughter's at home. She's got a devil inside of her. She's got a demon. She's demon possessed. She was at her wit's end. When you got a devil at home, you will do what's necessary to get rid of it. So she came to Jesus and she's like, Jesus, and she was a Gentile. Jesus, help me. And guess what? They said, you know, he wasn't even paying attention to her. Wouldn't even speak to her. But guess what he did? He went and he told one of his disciples. He said, does the master give the bread to the dogs? And man, that just turned it up a notch. Because guess what? He wasn't talking directly to her, but he was talking about her. I've got God's attention. He ain't got to tell me everything, but I do. He's hearing me. She's like, yeah. You called me a dog, and that's fair, because I am. But the crumbs that fall from the table, the dogs eat them. And then she started reasoning, because guess what? The portion that falls on the ground, if you put it under a microscope and look at it, that same portion that's up on the table of bread, that's in the floor, is the same exact ingredients. Everything's in it. The flour, the sugar. I mean, everything's there. She's like, I don't need the whole thing. I just need him. She, you know what he did? He threw her a crumb. You know what happened? The devil left. Amen? And that's all she needed, just a portion. Just give me that portion of Jesus. If you've got any portion in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus has any portion in you, you are rich beyond measure. You are rich beyond measure. You're one of the most wealthiest people on the face of the planet. You're walking around with a royal diadem. You're walking around with heaven's most valuable. You're walking around and people looking, oh, he ain't got nothing. On the inside, God says, you are just, man, you're like the church at Smyrna. On the outside, you look like nothing. On the inside, I ain't got nothing against you. Woo! Man, have you ever studied Smyrna? That church, the one of the seven churches of Asia. Man, if you drove by Smyrna Church, you'd go, they ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing. No program. No, man, that's a boring looking church. But if you went on the inside, it's the only church out of those seven churches that God said, I have nothing against you. Amen? The world looked at you and said, you had nothing. God looked at them and said, you got it all. Amen? I want God to look on the outside and we're looking at you ain't got my hand on the inside. God said, you got everything. Amen. Verse 27. Thank you. Verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a whoring from thee. Verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Do you see how he finished in 28? How did he finish? Like he started. But guess what? In the process, his heart meant what his mouth was saying at the end. He started out with, God's good, but right now I ain't believing it. But if you stick around long enough and you get in that sanctuary with God, at the end you can say, God is good, and you'll believe it. Amen? And you'll believe it. Let's all stand. I thank y'all for coming and being a part of this service. We're not going to have an altar service at the end of this. I hope y'all have a great Memorial Day weekend. Remember tomorrow when you get up and pray, or when you're going throughout your day tomorrow, pray and thank God for the veterans who sacrificed their whole lives that we may be a free country. Remember that tomorrow. If you get up and you pray in the morning, just say, God, thank you for the veterans that paid the ultimate price. I watched a special today about all the beaches being, Utah Beach and different times. And, man, I'm just sitting there going, my gosh, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old boys run across a beach where the country would be free, where the world would be free. And those men now are so elderly and so weak and so, but you see them and you're sitting there thinking, man, them guys at their time, man, this generation couldn't hold a candle to that generation. I mean, this generation couldn't even, man, they would run scared. You know what? That generation ran to the fight. So thank God for some men who sacrificed all. Tomorrow, thank you for being here tonight. I know it's a Memorial Day weekend. We usually don't have service on this weekend, but you know what? I was like, man, I got to preach. So I hope it's been a help to you. I hope you go out of here better than you came in. So let's pray and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people going in the hospital and coming out. There's a lot of people that are just going through a lot of struggles. Lord, we pray for them. There's a lot of people here this morning that needed salvation. There's a lot more in this world that need to be saved. We pray that you would save the lost. Send us to be a light and a warning to this generation. Lord, we thank you for Memorial Day. We thank you for veterans who sacrificed it all, who laid down their life that we may be free. Lord, we're thankful for that. Thank you for this crowd that came out tonight. Bless them as they go home. Keep us until the next time. In Jesus' name, amen.